T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It, Valero. Is this Culture Club?
Yes, it is.
I love it.
You get it?
Oh, changing the culture.
Yeah.
I did not get it.
Came back on point today, didn't it?
And I get it. Yeah, Valero is on point. Jason Lockenfora, he is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He doesn't have time to waste. This is a very busy day. How he agreed to come on our show, I have no idea when things are happening. He's the NFL insider for CBS Sports. Busiest time of year for him. How do you carve out 10 minutes for us? That's ridiculous, Jason.
Well, I'm multitasking. I'll put it that way.
All right. Look at you. Danny Amendola to the Dolphins. You hearing anything about that? We're starting to hear that.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, look, if they could get two guys in, let's say, you know, at making combined less than what they would have had to give Landry for 1 year of service, then I think that's a considerably smarter way to try to skin that cat. You know, now Amendola's had, you know, injury issues, and so that has to be a concern. But he's obviously somebody who has made his money in high traffic areas, who has done things in the slot where the going can be tough. I mean, that's kind of what Albert Wilson does as well. So I'll be interested to see how Adam Gase deploys all these guys. I imagine they're going to be forcing teams to draw a lot of attention to those two. And maybe that opens things up on the outside for a guy like Parker if he can put it together. But look, you know where I thought about spending $16 million on Jarvis Landry. And so I get this in concept. I'm interested to see how it plays out in practice.
And Jason, was that a mistake, or how that went down? The Dolphins end up on the bad side of 4-7 for their number one receiver?
I mean, when he wasn't signed, and you knew he wasn't going to sign there because they were so far apart on money. I mean, at that point, it's going to be a sunk cost and a lost cause either way. Personally, I'd have just let him walk and find out what the comp pick would be and move on from it that way, because what you're going to get in trade, really, I don't think is going to be more than that. And I know they have analytics people there, and they, you know, did their thing trying to figure out what it might be and how they might spend their money. And, you know, they would tell you, oh, well, it's not, you know, we wouldn't have got a 3 for Landry because when we ran our stuff, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I quite buy that or not. The reality is, though, that's just too much money. I mean, they should have traded him a year ago, really, because even then you were hearing that this was going to be, he's going to be too rich for their blood in all likelihood. And the kind of contract he was seeking, given the fact that it's, you know, 9 yards a catch, it's tough sledding. And those guys don't usually make that kind of money. They don't make number one wide receiver money, by and large, for a reason.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, is with us. Ndamukong Suh obviously released. We've heard the words culture change over and over and over when hearing about these Dolphins moves. Why do they require such a culture change?
Well, I mean, when's the last time they've won consistently?
I mean, they made the playoffs a season before last.
Okay, that was the new regime, and they changed the culture, I guess, temporarily. But I said consistently.
No, it's been a while.
When's the last time they had back-to-back seasons above 500? Not that that's a super high threshold, but
I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
All that recently.
But it seems like a weird time, doesn't it, for the third season of a new head coach? Like, you would do the culture change, like you said, at the beginning, at the onset of Adam Gase's tenure. I think it's a weird time.
Well, they already had made a lot of commitments before Gase got here.
Right.
So, I mean, look, the Suh thing, I don't know that I would look at that as culture change. I'll go back to what I reported in October. The owner was sick of paying him $20 million a year to win between six and, you know, eight games most years. Like, ultimately, is it putting fannies in the seats, and where are we in the standings? And if we reset the market for defensive players 3 years ago or whatever it was, and this is where we stand now, you know what? I got to get out of this contract at some point. And when the owner's talking in April to confidants and saying, this is not working out, then I got news for you. Unless your team automatically, you know, all of a sudden turns it around and has an unbelievable second half of the season, the guy will be gone because the buck stops with the owner and they don't want to keep throwing $20 million a year. I won't say down the drain, but not that he's not a great player, but you want to look at bang for your buck, and at some point you got to bite the bullet. They should have never restructured it in the first place. That's where just let it ride it out. I mean, when they kicked the can down the curb some more, I figured that would come back to bite them from a cap standpoint. And now you're giving a guy, I know you're saving four or whatever, but you're having a guy burn off $20 million of your cap to play for somebody else. It's not ideal. Didn't like the contract when they signed it. Didn't think that's the guy who you all of a sudden, like, that's the first big thing Tannenbaum does. Is that going to change the Miami Dolphins for good? Well, it turned out it didn't, to the point where, you know, now they're eating that. And look, culture change. I mean, it's always been sort of staccato there. We fire the coach, but not the GM. And this guy's a holdover, but he's not. And let's still keep a lot of Parcells people in the building even now. Like, I don't know, man. I guess it starts at the top, and they've never quite got it sorted all the way down. And it affects the locker room. I guess it affects everything. But that's I don't know, man. You got to ask. They got to have a press conference. You got to ask these questions.
I know. I'm waiting. You know? I'm waiting to hear. I'm waiting. Yeah.
Let's see what they say.
I'm waiting to hear.
You know what I mean? I can't sit here and give you all the thinking behind it because I'm not even Monday morning quarterback. A lot of this stuff in real time. So, you know, it's just like, really? Okay, I guess. What do you think
Ndamukong Suh is going to command on the open market, and who might be interested?
I mean, I would think depending on if he really wants to win and if he's going to say, I made a ton of money and, you know, I've kind of been there, done that, but I really want to win. I mean, it's going to be up to him and how much he's willing to put that stuff before money. If he wants to max out, I'm sure there's teams that would max out with him. I mean, what is he, right around 30? It's not like he's decrepit or anything like that. So you could look at teams like the Browns that still have more cap space than God. And are willing to make a splash, and they just sent Danny Shelton out, so they've got room for a D tackle, although they've got some decent depth there. But, I mean, look, if he wants to play for New England, I'm sure Bill Belichick, even with Danny Shelton, might be able to find a way to make that happen. He ships, you know, Malcolm Brown out or whatever. But, again, you'd have the Jets, you'd have the Browns, teams like that, they're going to have money to burn. If it's not about that, then any contending team would try to find a way to bring him in if he's willing to do it for, you know, 1 year, $10 million or something like that. I mean, what, Dontari Poe did a 1 year, $8 million deal. Sue is significantly better than him. But I don't know. It's going to really come down to the player. I mean, if he's listened to Warren Buffett's advice and wisely invested all that money he's made from Stephen Ross the last few years, then maybe he just wants to go to New England and win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. I don't know.
Jason, you brought up the Browns. Jarvis going up there. We were talking about it. Can the Browns be good, man? Duke Johnson in the backfield. Maybe get Saquon Barkley. You got Tyrod Taylor. You got Josh Gordon. Now Jarvis Landry inside. I know it's crazy to ask, but can they do something?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the Barkley thing at one. I don't think John Dorsey goes that way. I don't think there's any reason to do that. I mean, unless this guy is Walter Payton, unless he's Barry Sanders. Because if he's Zeke Elliott, I mean, you found guys last year in the third round who outproduced Zeke Elliott. Yeah. So I don't know. That position to me just doesn't hold enough value, and I suspect it doesn't with John Dorsey because he's the guy who drafted Kareem Hunt in the third round last year, and last I checked, he led the NFL in rushing. I think it's a quarterback or the future is still their priority, but in the meantime, they've gotten much better in the present. It's not exactly like the Bengals and the Ravens are gangbusters either. I mean, the Browns could maybe sneak into 6-7 wins next year and be the second-best team in that division. It wouldn't entirely shock me. They've still got more money to spend. They've still got things they want to do. If they're able to bring in a top-flight corner, And then all it's not just the first and the fourth draft pick. Even with the picks they've traded, they've still got, I mean, an inordinate amount of picks throughout the draft. And Dorsey's pretty good, much better than anything they've had there in a long time. So, yeah, I think the Browns can get better on two tracks at the same time. Better for tomorrow and better for, you know, 3 years down the line.
Who's going to win a Super Bowl first, the Browns or the Dolphins?
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Push.
I don't know. Is there neither? I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I
the Patriots.
Who knows? I don't know who the Browns quarterback, you know, I don't know what quarterback they've drafted yet, and I don't know how he's going to develop and all that stuff. And look, I don't think I still think it. You know, Hugh Jackson is not going to be the coach who gets them over the top. So I still feel like the Browns haven't completely resolved all their issues either.
What about the Dolphins' quarterback situation? Would you take a Baker Mayfield at 11 if he was available?
Personally, I would think long and hard about it. I would. I don't know that he's going to be available then, though. I think that's an assumption right now. I don't know that I can say that's probable. But, yeah, I mean, if they don't take him, a team like Baltimore at 16, I don't think he gets past them. Him or the Oklahoma State kid, I think the Ravens could lock in on. So, yeah. They really want this thing with Tannehill to work. There's no doubt about that. And they're trying to put weapons around him, and they're so far down that road that, you know, this is sort of who they are, and they're going to, you know, give it another shot. And it's been unfortunate. I mean, they've just been bad. I mean, a lot of this stuff has been freaky. It's been bad luck. It's not the kid's fault. It happens sometimes. But I don't know if they'd go first round. I don't know if they'd go QB there. I really don't. I mean, it's going to depend on who else is on the board and how many other things are gone and whatever else. But I just know they really want this Tannehill thing to work.
Jason, what secret can I tell my son about Kirk Cousins? Because he is just racking up. 3 years, $86 million with the Vikings, likely to sign that deal. Got franchised 2 years in a row. Well, he's going to open his own bank. Is he that good? Is he this good, Jason?
He played the system, man. The system tried to play him, and he played the system. I mean, the first thing I'd tell you is be lucky enough to have somebody as incompetent as Bruce Allen handling your contract situation. That's the first thing you got, because there's not a whole lot of him in this league. So you got to stumble into him and Dan Snyder, and then you've got to have them continually try to force your hand, and then you're going to go out and keep throwing for, you know, 4,200 yards and, you know, around 30 touchdowns, and then you got to hit the open market, you know, well before your 30th birthday, and then be there at a time when you're the top dog standing, you know, and his agent has done a tremendous job. The Redskins have botched this from the beginning. They could have had him originally on probably a 5-year, $40 to $45 million deal. The owner said no way. That's when he first became the starter. Then they could have had him on a 3-year, $60 million deal. The owner said no way. So instead they end up giving him what did he get, 20 and 20, $44 million for 2 years, and now he's about to bank another 90. Good for him.
I mean, good Lord, it's insane. Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider, CBS Sports, very busy time of year for him. We appreciate it. Do you have time to fill out a March Madness bracket, or there's no time for even that?
It's not about time. I just don't pay any attention to college basketball.
Really? You're such a huge sports fan.
I am. I just, the NCAA, I don't, big-time college sports just kind of makes me want to puke in my hands, so.
You're excited about baseball season,
start
though.
Start paying the kids and not pretending that they're free labor, and I might get into them more.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think you and I are probably tilting at windmills on that one, though. Jason Lockenfora, thank you for making time for us, Jason.
You got it, guys. Have a good one down there. Thank you.
He is busy and very kind to give us his time.
Tilting at windmills. What's that?
That means you're shouting into the wind and nothing's ever going to change. Tilting at windmills. You could.
Is that one of old sayings?
I guess so.
Little house on the prairie?
I guess so.
Oh, okay.
It may just be a smart saying.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's one of the two.
A lot of windmills. I saw six coming to work today.
I'm just saying the saying, you not knowing it, would lead me to believe it's either old or smart. It's one of the two. There's two variables as to why you might not know tilting at windmills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.